Our excerpt from Luke's gospel finds Jesus posed with a question. Lord, will only a few people be saved? So here's this man who, like many people, I think, had this kind of question. How many people will be saved? How many people will be condemned at the judgment? Maybe people don't ask that question at all anymore. In fact, I suspect that's kind of the case in the wider culture. But this man wants a number. He wants a percentage. He wants some sort of quantifiable thing that he can wrap his arms around and his mind around. Maybe he's asking, so, you know, if it's too few of a number of people, maybe he's not even going to bother to try, you know, and or you know, whatever. Maybe he's just wanting to see. I think many of us kind of want to do the bare minimum of whatever it is that we're supposed to be about. But Jesus, of course, doesn't give him the answer that he's looking for, but he gives him the answer that he needs, the answer that we all need. He says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. There's a tendency in our humanity to, again, gravitate to one extreme or the other. Either we're all doomed and, you know, the Lord isn't really going to save too many of us, or God's going to save everybody because he's love. You know, you can do whatever you want. We really tend toward one of those two extremes. I think years ago, the first of those extremes was the case. People were really, really worried about whether they were going to slip up and God was going to keep score and he was going to throw down on you whenever it came to the judgment. You know, so there was this fearfulness of God as the angry taskmaster. That's wrong, by the way. That's wrong. It's erroneous. But today, the prevalent opinion, I think, is, well, God's love, and whatever you do, he's going to forgive you. And he wants everybody to be saved, and so everybody's going to be saved. Well, I don't know how anybody can say that and say they've also read the scriptures, because none of that is in there. In fact, to the contrary. Now, Jesus doesn't give us a number, but he does pretty plainly point out, many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. What does he mean? The life of the Spirit demands much. It demands much. We can try to work out our salvation without God's help, and that doesn't work. But we can also presume that God's going to do everything for us and it's all going to be fine, and so we do no work, and that doesn't work either. To use the image that Jesus uses of this narrow gate, at the time of Jesus, of course, and in much of the ancient world, any town of any size or any city of any size would have a wall built around it for protection, and there would be one small portal in which to enter and leave, through which to enter and leave. And it was meant to be a more easily defensible position. Well, of course, there is some inconvenience in that too, because you can't just enter the city wherever you please. You have to, wherever you happen to come to the city wall, walk around to the nearest entrance. Now, I think many people in their lives today have this impression or this attitude that, well, I'm going to do it my way, like the Frank Sinatra song. And many people have pointed out before that that's the song, that's the theme song for Those in Hell. I did it my way. It's probably true. I'm not making a judgment on Frank Sinatra, but you know, who knows. But we can't just do it our way. Let's just say that the entrance to the city is over here on the podium here. The entrance to the city is over here, but I'm over here and my house is right here. Well, it makes most sense for me to just go straight to my house, right? I just go straight to what I want. And that's going to be the best way for me. And I'm just going to do that. I don't really want to go through all the trouble of going all the way around. Well, it sounds great, but the reality is you end up slamming your face into a wall and not getting in. There's a futility there's a futility in that kind of a life. And it's the same way with those of us who want to do things exactly the way we want to do them, rather than the ways in which God has guided us and instructed us to do. You know, in order to get to my place, I have to go around the city and in through that gate. I have to change my course, I have to change my plans, and I have to go where the entrance is. It's just that simple. So when the Lord is giving us the gate to enter, he's not giving us this labyrinth, this maze to try to pick our way through, just to toy with us. He's saying, this is simply how it works. You know, nobody really thinks that if they have all the parts for, you know, a 1979 Chevy 350 laid out on a shop floor, that they can assemble it in any way they want to. They can try, but it probably won't run, and it won't be all that useful. And it's the same way with our spirits and our spiritual lives. We can try to assemble that spiritual life or live it the way we want, way we think is necessary. We can ignore the teachings of the church on this or that thing and say, well, that's okay. That's good for those who want to be saints, but I just kind of want to slide in. I just kind of want to slide in. It doesn't work. The Lord has given us that narrow gate, and all the laws and the teachings of the church are meant to help us, to shape us, so that we can go through that gate. A second reading from Hebrews talks about God as the Father who disciplines his sons, or his sons and daughters. What father does not discipline his son, Paul says? You know, and in the moment, the discipline feels like the discipline is pain, and that is all that we see. We do not see then the fruit of righteousness, as he says, that comes afterward. That fruit of peace, of knowing that we belong. So the Lord is inviting us to, first of all, trust in him, and not to despair of his salvation offered to us, but also never to presume on that salvation. Because either of those two things can lead us away from God and away from salvation. If we despair and we do not see God as loving and one that we should gravitate toward, we will not, and we will be lost. If we presume and we live our lives the way we want to, then we spend our lives, as it were, slamming into the wall and not getting through. And we will never get through if we presume on our God. Rather, he wants us to trust enough to follow what he has asked us to do, how he has asked us to live. He asks us to walk through that gate so that rather than being the ones on the outside wailing and grinding teeth, we will be the ones dining at the table of the heavenly banquet.